So, I don't know about you, but I love baby dedications. They're so cute, and they bring such joy to just to pray for them and just to see their innocence and just, it puts a smile on everybody's face, right? I mean, you're all smiling. It's just like, oh, it's beautiful. But what's interesting that we don't often see is joy isn't usually the term that would be used for the parents that are bringing their children. There's a lot of dynamics to get here, a lot of stressors to get here, right? I mean, it can interact with nap time. And so, oh, I hope they're awake, or I hope they don't cry, or I hope they don't fuss. First service, we had even two families have to cancel out because, you know, the baby wasn't feeling real well or whatever. So there's all these moving parts that, you know, usually the parents are like, okay, we pulled that off, but it wasn't this big joy thing. So congratulations to the parents that got here and got ready and were able to do that, because that is a major deal. And you bring us joy, even though you might not have felt it perfectly when we prayed for you. But, you know, today marks the third week of Advent, kind of an ancient celebration that leads up to Christmas. And each week has a theme. And so we started Advent 2 weeks ago. The first theme is hope. And the second week was peace. And this week is joy. And it's kind of interesting because as I think about these parents coming up and the stressors, and yet it's a joyful experience, there's kind of this dynamic that we have when we talk about joy at Christmas. We all know we should have joy. But if we're honest, there are stressors that are associated with Christmas. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of preparation. Let's start with the decor. Everyone's got to decorate their house. You don't want to be that guy that's got, or gal that's got the dark house. So you got the pressure of that. Then you got to put up the tree. And then you got to shop. That's a thing. You got to shop, and then you got to buy the right things. And then you got, maybe in your work or business, you got year-end deadlines that you got to wrap up. And then we all know the wonderful experience of navigating through those difficult in-law gatherings that come to the house or whatever. So you got all these stressors, and yet it's supposed to be a place of joy. What is that? Have we messed Christmas up so much that joy is not possible? Or maybe our perspective isn't the right perspective and can cause us to be robbed of joy this year, and stress would be more the topic or term we would use. I hope that's not the case. I've entitled this morning's message, Season Stressors, and we're going to look at how to find joy, how to experience the joy of Christmas, how to find it, how to keep it, and we're going to be doing it by looking at the Christmas story, Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. Now, when you really think about it, Christmas, as recorded in Scripture, was a terrible time. I mean, let's start with Joseph and Mary. They're excited. They're going to get married. They live in small villages. Everybody knows them. They know everybody. It's exciting. They've probably known each other since birth, or, you know, at least growing up as grade school, high school sweethearts at a minimum, okay? And so they're going to get married. That's an exciting time. And they're looking forward to building a family. And then you get this virgin birth announcement. Then chaos hits. And then Joseph's like, she had an affair. And so now he's trying to figure out how to divorce her, because they legally got engaged back then. He's saying, if I do it quietly, so stress. If I do it quietly, then maybe nobody will notice and it'll be less, but everybody's going to notice because everybody knows everybody. And then he gets a message that says, no, go ahead and have the kid. Well, that's stress, because now he's trying to avoid stress by going around the back door. Now he's got to walk through it. Now he's got to actually have a wedding. And what's that feeling like? Without getting into the details of how the wedding works, you confirm virginity, all this kind of stuff, and it's like, wow. And then if that isn't enough, then politically, Herod gets on the boat and he starts throwing out a census. Now they got to go to Bethlehem. Oh, that's real good. So, you know, first child, no in-laws with us. We're traveling when we're pregnant. And when we get there, there's no place to stay. I mean, are you feeling the joy yet? Not really. Yet. What's interesting is through it all, we will see this morning, there was joy. Where was their joy? Well, let's take a look. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. So they were protecting they hang out with their sheep because there's wolves and coyotes and whatever, and they're protecting them. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and a glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now we understand that. This is the third time the angels have showed up. And each time, remember the first time was who? Mary. What happened there? Fear freaked her out. Right? You probably freak out too. And then what happened after that? Who was the next one? Joseph. Fear freaked out. Both angels said, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. So here we go, round three. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I will bring you good news of great. So there it is. In the midst of this stressful situation, there's going to be great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, which was kind of a normal way of wrapping, and lying in a manger, which wasn't normal. It's a feeding trough. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. So not just one angel, now a bunch of angels are showing up. And what are they doing? They're praising God, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So notice the contrast in this situation between fear, angels showing up, and basically a heavenly party where a lot of angels are praising God and everybody's happy. By the way, that's the term for joy. So don't want to complicate joy. It just means happy. Some people make a lot of that, but yeah, just stick with it. So fear versus happiness. What was the difference? Well, the shepherds are going, this isn't normal. I'm out in a field and a supernatural appearance happens to me, which is way out of my control. Yikes. Over here, the angels are saying, this is great because a Messiah is being born. The Savior of the world is being born. They are not here and now. They are focused on the things of God, the things of heaven, the things of eternity. And the result was fear versus joy. And here we get some insight when we talk about how to experience joy this Christmas. Number one, on your outline, hopefully you're taking a couple notes here. Keep an eternal perspective. Keep an eternal perspective. Don't forget what Christmas is all about. It's God on a rescue mission for you and me to save us from our sinful condition, which ultimately goes to Good Friday, paying for our sin, and an empty tomb, the hope and promise of heaven in the afterlife. It's not about the elements. And that's, if you stay with the elements, i.e. the shepherds, i.e. the virgin birth, the wise men, a contract out on your kid's life by hair. If you stay with those are stressors. But if you pull back and go, what's this all about? This is all about eternity. This is all about the promise and hope of heaven and solving our sinful condition of mankind. Wow, okay. That feels good. That brings joy. This other stuff, so it's here versus there. That's why the eternal part is so important. Which means what? It's not about decorating. It's not about buying gifts. It's not about hosting parties or even navigating with your in-laws. Those things will all come and go. Those things will all happen, but that's not what Christmas is all about. If that's what Christmas is all about, yes, then you'll be robbed of your joy because things won't work out. Things won't equal out. Things won't be wonderful all the time because we're all weird and we all bump into each other all the time. That's kind of how it works. It's like the Apostle Paul said, and I love this quote because it keeps my perspective right, in terms of, he says, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we of all people must be pitied. Why must we be pitied? Because this life doesn't work out. And that's the difference. When you come to Jesus and you become a Christian, it doesn't mean life is going to be easy. It just means that eternal life is your promise, and now you have the Lord to navigate these things with his truth and guide through life. But it doesn't mean problem-free. The perspective is so important. I experience this. So Thanksgiving, what's supposed to be your perspective at Thanksgiving? Thankfulness, okay? It's in the name. It's not complicated, okay? And so however you do that, and I've shared with you ways that we do it. And so so going into Thanksgiving, I had a goal. And the goal was to get a family picture. Because in our family, to get everybody together is miraculous. Because they're spread out. They're in LA, or they're in Orange, or they're in Costa Mesa. And so to get everybody together on a certain day and get kind of a family picture, there's always going to be somebody missing, or it's not going to work out. So, but we're all together on Thanksgiving. Perfect. So I'm planning. We're going to get this. I got a little, you know, iPhone tripod, you know, so we can all be in the picture. It's got a little remote control, so I can be in the picture and go click, 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 click. It's pretty slick, right? I'm thinking this is going to work. We'll just all go in the backyard. But even that, all go in the backyard. I've got 7 grandkids. They're all running around. We probably have a house of 20 people, 17, 18, 19, I can't remember, running all around. So to get everybody together is even corralling puppies, right? But we finally do it. We get everybody together. Okay, smile, everybody. Click, 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 click. It's working too. First it didn't, so I started panicking, oh no. And then the kids start getting bored, and oh no. You know, so finally got it going. Click, 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 click. Great. We're done. Somebody goes, you want to check those pictures? And my first reaction was no. Because they're already starting to dissipate, right? The kids and re-corral. But I said, no, let me look. And so I looked. Sure enough, every picture, my grandson in the front was going. Every picture. None of them were usable. Now I start feeling the grandpa tension, you know. And I start to express that a little bit, kind of call it out, actually. And then I can't remember, somebody in the group, I think it was my daughter, says, they're just kids, Dad. It's like, you're right. It's just kids. They're being funny. I need to be thankful for my grandkids. Not lost in, I got to get this picture. Right? Perspective. I could be there and I could be thankful for my kids and we could all be yelling and all be having a fun, or I could be all balled up, all stressed out because it didn't work out exactly how I want to do it. And what's the difference? The difference is me. In other words, joy is a choice on what you focus on or not. And a lot of it has to do with your expectations. Right? Expectations of how things should work out. Well, let me ask you, how was your Christmas 5 years ago? You don't remember. And here's the deal, you won't remember 5 years from now. So a lot of times, this is self-imposed expectations that, quote, aren't met. And we do that. We have expectations about gift giving. We have expectations about the meal. We have expectations about interactions. We have the list goes on. And I just tell you, the more you lower your expectations, and it's not that big a deal in light of what Christmas is really all about, the more joy you will experience. I also try to do this, and I've told you this before, but I try to make connections, eternal connections with things that stress me out. Like my lights. Over the years, you guys have been up to date on me decorating my house and the lights. And I'm a big light guy, so I put lights on the outside, I put them on the inside, and I even do the backyard. That's the added bonus, right? And a couple years ago, I do the sickles, and then I do the Charlie Brown lights, all this thing. And a couple years ago, I had a breakthrough. Because every year I do this whole thing of sickles, and then it seems like 4 feet goes out, just goes dark. And it goes dark right where you pull into the driveway. So you see it every time. It can't be the kind that wrapped around the corner and nobody sees, front and center. So for you to fix it, you got to rip them all down. Eternity. Darkness. Without Jesus. Light. With Jesus. Darkness. When I was a non-Christian, I didn't know. And now I'm saved by the light. Sweet. That's a blessing. And no longer a stressor. That brings me joy. In fact, don't light them up. Leave them out. So it's a good reminder. No, I'm not joking. I mean, they're working now because we've had a few years, but that helped me. It's not that big a deal. In fact, 99% of the people won't even notice. So what is that for you? What can stress you out? What can rob you of the joy of Christmas? Maybe it's gift giving. That can be a stinger. Who do you give gifts to? How much money should you spend on them? They don't deserve. Last year they, you know, and we start to do all that to where it doesn't become a joy, it becomes stress. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. The very thing that we celebrate at Christmas is eternal life and the forgiveness of sins that God gave us with no strings attached. Ah. So maybe if you're going to give somebody a gift and it doesn't feel fair or based on last year or whatever, maybe you just say, you know what? I'm living through the spirit of Christmas. No strings attached. Merry Christmas. It can even be a devotion to God. The Lord, you know I'm struggling with the gift of this person or whatever, but I'm giving to you. In other words, you can make eternal connections with some of your stressors. So I encourage you to pay attention to that, especially this week. What is it that triggers you? What is it that causes you to stress and not experience joy? And in what eternal connection can you make to that, giving you that perspective? But let's keep reading. Let's go back to our passage as we wrap up. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, fast, basically, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had, when they saw it, they made known saying that, verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So they're telling people now. Everybody's going, what? Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned. Returned to what? The sheep. They're back out in the field. But look at the difference. No more fear. Glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and had been told them. So now, like the angels, the shepherds are filled with joy. How do we know that? Because they're both, like the angels, they were, quote, praising God, and so were the shepherds praising God. And so we see this extension of their perspective had changed. It was no longer freak out here and now. It's like they got the bigger picture. Don't forget, the Jews weren't Christians. These guys weren't Christians. That didn't exist. The Jews were looking forward to a Messiah. And that Messiah was going to solve a lot of their problems. And so now to hear that the Messiah is coming brings them great joy, of which they are now praising God. They're excited. They're thankful. They're saying it out loud. And so this is really the application point of an eternal perspective. Number two in your outline, how to experience the joy of Christmas, engage in worship. Engage in worship. You can't be stressed and worship at the same time. It doesn't work. You can try. It's not going to work. One will cancel the other out. And when you think about it, worship is basically praying to a song. Kind of like a Hallmark card, you know. You buy a card for somebody, you look at it and you go, that expresses my heart. You didn't write it, but you read it and you gave it to somebody and they read it and it connected them with you. That's what worship is. It's truths, it's devotions, it's reflections that we go, it's way past the music, it's way past the tuning, it's bringing it to God and making that connection with God. And so when you think about it, when you engage in worship, you're engaging in prayers. And if you're gonna pray, that's the best thing you can be doing when you're stressed out. That goes back to Philippians 4, right? Turn your cares into prayers. We talked about that. And this is a truth throughout the Bible. And not an issue of style. It's not an issue of male versus female. When you look at the book of Psalms, which is the book of songs, right? They're songs written by music directors, one of which is David. You see this constant encouragement. I'll just read a couple of them to you. Psalm 92:4, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy, the connection. Psalm 95:1, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in joyous song. You see the connection and sing his praises. There's a deep connection between engaging and singing to God and experiencing joy. Now I want to encourage you. You don't have to be musical. It said joyful noise. So if you just kind of grunt along, it's better than not. But here's the deal. You got to do it out loud. There's a big difference between listening to a song and singing along with the song. Guys, there is. Because here's the deal. Because then your mind can't wander. And this is what happens, right? You can come into church. You can have the worship going. And you can be in another place on Tuesday morning that you're worried about. But if you got to sing with it, it doesn't work. Keeps you right here. So the key is out loud. We knew the shepherds were praising God because they were singing out loud. We knew the angels were praising God because they were singing out loud. It wasn't in their mind. It was an activity. It was an event. And I encourage you, this is a great time of year to do that. I have two cars, older cars. Long story of how I got the extra car. But so I drive between these two cars. I set one on my radio to talk radio. The other one I set to a Christmas music channel. What a difference. Unbelievable. You get into talk radio, it's like, ah, this person, that person, I'm suing over this, and blah, 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 and they're with the cabinet ministry, and blah, 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 over in Europe, and blah, 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 blah. Right? That's what it does. Joy to the world, right? I mean, then I'm listening to the music, and it's like, oh, man, how uplifting that is, how much it connects me. And then if I connect with the words and I say it out loud, now I'm careful. I'm not like, you know, at the stoplight, joy to the world, you know. But that wouldn't be bad. So I don't know what that would be for you. We had a staff party last night, and it's always fun, and, you know, typical order. You have food, you have fellowship, then we had a white elephant gift, and then we end with a quick devotion, and we always sing a couple Christmas songs. And it's a cappella, so it's not, you know, we're not tearing down the house with music or whatever, it's just go. But when we sang, it was cool, because I literally looked around, there's, I don't know, 40 of us, something like that, and it was like everyone had a smile on their face when they were singing. Or a couple people actually had their eyes closed. That's what worship does. That's what engagement does. And this is an awesome time of year. There's so many songs. There's so many traditional, deep truths stuff I mean, there's the fun stuff too, jingle bells and all that, but I'm just talking about the other things. And so I encourage you, change the radio station when you leave here today. You'll experience more joy than stress. When you're at home, rather than just having silence, flip on some music that have some deeper truths to it. It's the application of an eternal perspective. It's singing about it. It's engaging with it. So this time of year is, let me ask you this. What would you say is the most represented Christmas song of the year, giving our theme today? Right? I mean, Joy to the World, right? Do you know the history of that song? Written by a guy named Isaac Watts, back in the late 18th century. Sorry, early 18th century. And back then, and Isaac Watts is a hymn writer. Back then, the hymns were based on the Psalter, the Psalms usually, and they were more reciting. That kind of just Gregorian chant that kind of fills the cathedrals, as you might think in medieval times in Europe or something. And his dad, Isaac's dad, says, man, you got to write a song that knocks people out of their stupor. Because everybody's like, it's like boring and dead and not fun. And so he did. And in 1718, he wrote Joy to the World in the middle of the year. It wasn't a Christmas song at all. And of course, now there's been some tunes added to it, and the music has been added to it by a guy named, I think it's Lowell Mason. But, and that's some of what we sing today. But what I thought was interesting is that the Joy to the World got edited for Christmas. What do you mean? Well, there are four verses in Joy to the World. And I would argue that you know three of them. Joy to the world, let earth. Got it. Okay. Second verse, let earth receive her king. Yeah, I got all that. Prepare him room. Heaven and nature singing. Okay, let me think here, okay? The Savior reigns. Right, let men their songs employ, right, that verse, right? You with me? Yeah, white fields and floods, rocks, hills, and repeat the sunny joy. Repeat, okay, got it. Then we jump to the fourth verse. He rules the world, right? Wonders of his love, bum, bum, and a wonders of his love, bum, bum, and a wand, right? We leave out verse 3. Want me to read it to you? Yeah. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Far as the first is ground. Far as the first curse is found, far as the curse is found. So that got pulled, because that wasn't very Christmassy. But I would argue that that is the whole gospel, that's why his reigning is so important. That's why there's joy to the world, because he dealt with the curse of sin. So we're going to sing that as we conclude today, and we're going to sing all four verses as we begin our week of worship, which will bring joy. Are you ready for that? Okay, good. So let me just say a couple things here as we wrap. Joy is going to be your choice. What you focus on, what you have expectations on, what you can let go or what you don't let go. And I encourage you, the more you pull back and go, what's Christmas all about? It's all about Jesus saving me, forgiving me, and the hope of heaven. That's what it's all about. The rest is window dressing. It's good, it's fun, but it's not what it's all about. The more you can do that, the more joy you'll feel. And the more you take that perspective into actually engaging in worship and thanking God for that, using songs or however you do it, the more you will experience joy as well. The world wants to rob us of joy. It wants you to focus on here and now, which is super depressing. And yet as Christians, we have the advantage to pull back and see the bigger picture. In a moment, I'm going to light that pink candle. That is the candle of joy. You can see other two candles are lit. One was week one, hope, I told you earlier, and peace the next week. And I'm going to be lighting that pink candle, the candle of joy. And I just want to encourage you that rather than just take this a little further, as I go over and light that candle, that maybe you have a little private time with God. And you say, God, you know this is causing me stress. Give me an eternal perspective. Whatever that is, whatever your stressors may be, just make it the time with the Lord that can go a little deeper. And then once you do that, then engage in joy to the world like you never have before. Okay? All right, let me pray for us. Lord, we recognize that the world we live in is a daily challenge for our mind, for what we think about, what we focus on. And yet this is Christmas, a reminder to all of us, the Savior's born, the Messiah is born. And so Lord, I do pray that you would keep our focus in the right place. And will you take action in that and respond to you by what you so deserve, worship. You said in John 4 that you desire worshipers that worship in spirit and truth. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd be a worshiping church. We'd be an eternally focused church. And as a result, we would be a church of joy that would reflect you to the world. Thank you, Lord, for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.